The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this day, through the word of God, we go up the mountain with the three disciples, according to the account of Matthew. This is important for us because we stand on the edge of Lent. For 40 days we will bury our alleluias. We will lament over our sins and we will adopt a more somber tone to our services and our daily lives. O Christ, you walk the road our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptation's power and fought our ancient foe. Will Jesus emerge victorious? Will he win the battle against forces of Satan? Is he the promised Messiah? We know the answer to these things, for we live post-resurrection. But the disciples didn't know the answer to these things. They were still trying to figure it out. They were still concerned and wondering who Jesus is, even though Peter had confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. We, on the other hand, live some 2,000 odd years removed from these events. The disciples didn't know what we know. They were living it out. Their hopes and their confidences were placed in and on Jesus. And what does Jesus go and do? He looks at them and he says, I'm going to die. Going to die. Now remember when Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ? Peter states that Jesus is the Christ, and then Jesus looks at him and says, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for man has not made this known to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then he goes on to say that the confession of Peter is the rock upon which the church will be built. The solid foundation, the base which all other confessions are built upon, that is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the one promised to Adam and Eve. He is the Savior sent by God the Father. Furthermore, Jesus says of this confession, the gates of hell will not stand against it. This is a glorious moment. It is a heart-beating, makes you feel good. You're on the winning team, especially with Jesus telling them he's going to give them the keys of the kingdom, and they will sit in judgment on the 12 tribes of Israel. And that whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The excitement is palpable. And hot on the heels of this glorious declaration, the word of Jesus makes a very sharp turn. The Messiah must go to Jerusalem. Of course the Messiah must go to Jerusalem. Where else would he set up his throne? Where else would he set up his kingdom from? The Messiah must go to Jerusalem to face the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and suffer many things and be put to death. Who even heard the part about being raised once they'd heard the words, he must be put to death? Riding the wave of Jesus' glory and then hearing that he predicts his death, Peter is like, no way, not going to happen. Not to you, Lord. That can't happen to you. Say it isn't so. Then to boot, Jesus follows it all up with a jaw-dropping, by the way. By the way, if you're going to follow me, you too are going to have to take up your cross and bear it. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. What profit then is it for you if you gain the whole world and yet in the end lose your soul? That's going to have to sit and ruminate for a while, be thought on, because it's downright scary. They all knew what it meant to bear a cross. They all understood crucifixion. They understood the horror and the awfulness of that. And here's Jesus telling them, you're going to have to pick up your cross. You're going to have to bear your cross. You're going to have to suffer if you follow me. From victory with the keys of the kingdom to bearing a cross. So Jesus lets this all lie still for a while. Nothing of what Jesus said or did is recorded for the next 6 days. Jesus, when it seems that Jesus is doing absolutely nothing for his church, the disciples and we, through Matthew's account, get a glimpse of Jesus' glory. While here on earth, Jesus is in a state of humiliation. He does not always and fully use his divine powers and show his divine majesty. Here he is veiled. And yet sometimes we get a glimpse, a peek behind the veil. Like Moses and the elders of Israel, there will be a glimpse of the Lord's glory and his power and his might. As the Old Testament tells us, the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. It took an invitation from the Lord for Moses and the elders of Israel to go up to the mountain, to sit in the presence of the Lord, to eat and to drink in the presence of the Lord. For it had been said by the Lord God, if anyone sets a foot on the mountain, be it man or beast, they should be put to death. This was a terrifying, overwhelming sight that Moses and the elders of Israel and the people of Israel had beheld. But the Lord said to Moses in an invitation, come up to the mountain that I may give you the tablets of the stone with the law and the commandment I have written for you. Moses waited, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on the top of Mount Sinai for 6 full days. And at the end of 6 days, Moses went into the cloud of glory of the Lord. Dark and fiery was the bringing of the law. Jesus, on the other hand, invited not 70 elders, but 3 witnesses to come up to the mountain with him, that when the appropriate time came, they would be able to give witness to that which they had seen. They would make personal testimony that the accounts of Jesus through his resurrection and ascension aren't stories, they aren't myths, but they are real occurrences, that they really happened. For they were eyewitnesses of the things that Jesus had accomplished. What did they see? What was it? They saw Jesus unveiled, glorious, such as no human being had ever seen him show forth. His face was shining like the sun. His body shone through his clothes, causing his clothes to turn a bright white. Moses and Elijah were there with him to strengthen him for the task that was before him, for the ordeal that he was about to undergo. And Peter was bold enough to speak. But when he spoke, he jabbered when it would have been best for him to have been silent. And he was still speaking when a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said to them, "This is my beloved Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Perhaps the voice was commanding as the Lord spoke to Elijah on the mountain. Maybe it was a low whisper. For remember when Elijah was on the mountain, the Lord passed by, and he wasn't in the thunder, and he wasn't in the lightning, and he wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the storms, but he was in the still small voice that spoke. So perhaps the Lord thundered on the mountain, perhaps the Lord spoke in a whisper on the mountain. Who knows? What we do know is the result is that the disciples fell on their faces in terror. The cloud descended on the mountain in all its brightness and glory, and the voice of the Lord spoke. And upon hearing the voice of the Lord, the disciples were overcome and falling on their faces in abject terror. It was only by the touch of Jesus that the fear was removed, and they went down the mountain with Jesus, reaffirming that he will die and rise again. But this time the disciples were silent. What a roller coaster ride. It would have been great to see the transfiguration of our Lord, to be strengthened to face the trials and the opposition that the world will give to our faith and to our very lives. We have such things to strengthen us, though. We think, oh, this would be great. But we also have wonderful things given to us by the Lord our God, as we are strengthened to face the opposition of the world and our own sinful selves. We simply need to just slow down and understand them for what they are. The Lord knows that each and every one of us will bear a certain cross. We will bear our crosses in this life and in this world. We will be fitted with labor for the kingdom, labor in the kingdom of the Lord. And sometimes it will be a joy, and sometimes it will be overwhelming and hard to accomplish and hard to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows this. The Lord Jesus knows we will walk to our own personal Golgotha, our own personal place of the skull. And as we face our joys and our sorrows, our strengths and our sins, He asks us to repent and to trust in Him. For in truth, we have been given, I think, even more than this glorious vision than the disciples, that the disciples had. We have been given the gospel. That is the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus offered to us through the means that the Lord appoints. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution, along with God's word that is written and preached and shared. These things are the means of grace. And we have them. We have them in our possession. They are given to us freely as a gift by God, our Lord, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have all of these things. And where there is sin, yes, there is death. But where the sin is taken away, there is life. Right? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God attaches His promise, His grace, to the Word and to the sacraments. As a matter of fact, you know, as we look at the waters of holy baptism, we see in the waters of holy baptism that we are caught up by the Lord. We are taken by God. We are made His own dear children. We are given the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. We are given an eternal inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. By the mighty hand of God through the water and the Word, we were brought into the kingdom of God we are brought into the kingdom of God. And though outside of these doors, the hosts of the devil may rage and roar and scream and yell, here we are judged safe and sound. Here we are protected by God the Father Almighty. Here we are protected by angels and archangels. And as we go to our homes, we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ would send His holy angels to guard and protect our very homes in which we live and in which we dwell. And this very day you have confessed your sins. The holy absolution has been spoken over you, and your sins are forgiven. They have been taken away. They exist no more. The Lord God has taken them away as far as the east is from the west. And this very day your hands and your lips will touch the very body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And at that time, the curtain between heaven and earth will be pulled back, and we will sing and we will rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We will rejoice with our loved ones who have gone before us into the glory of heaven, and we will see God in face to face in the form of bread and wine. In, with, and under the bread and wine, we will see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we could but see what happens here this day, we wouldn't do nothing less than fall on our own faces in the majesty of our Lord and Savior and in the majesty of our God. And even though we now have life, we do tremble at our sins. We fall fragile at best. We know that we have failed. We know that we have been unworthy servants, just like Peter and the disciples who were on the mountain with him. But what did they experience? When the vision was over, they hear what we hear. They hear the touch, and they feel the touch and hear the words of God in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, who reaches out to them and says to them exactly what He says to us today. Rise and have no fear. So as you leave this house of God today, as you leave having been strengthened and refreshed through the sacrament of the altar, as you leave forgiven, as you leave strengthened to face the world that is before you, go forth from these doors today and have no fear. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.